number one clothing retailer. No.
A woman, a Sierra Vista woman, says a note from a Chinese prisoner ended up inside her purse at a local Walmart. So this lady who purchased a purse from the store using a gift card, she found this tiny folded up note inside the zipper compartment. It actually said that the person who wrote was a prisoner in China, basically that their situation was how they work long hours, 14 hours a day, and they don't have a lot to eat. That was what they could translate.
Are you supposed to put food in the purse and send it back to China? I mean, what?
So weird and strange.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on with that. But hey, check your purse. You might have a note from China. Yeah. Google Docs.
There is a virus that is going through Google Docs currently, and it's hacking into. But it's masking itself as a Google Doc, but it's a virus.
Okay, you're in the wheelhouse, so you get the point. But you've got, I'll give you credit for even knowing what this is about, because this broke late this afternoon. Do not open any Google Docs that are sent to you without first verifying that somebody sent it to you. There is a new phishing attack that was launched that sends you something that looks exactly. No typos, no fake-looking URLs, no problems. Looks exactly like a Google Doc that you might be expecting. The problem is, when you log into it, it steals your personal information and then replicates itself to everybody in your Google email list. So don't open Google Docs. If you get one, send an email to whoever allegedly you're expecting a Google Doc from and say, is this the one that you sent? And even odds, you're going to find out, no, it's not. You don't want to get involved in one of these things. This is how your identity gets stolen. So stay away from the Google Docs. They're working to sort this out. Something tells me the Justice Department is involved in this by this point. There will be more about it tomorrow. But in the meantime, unless you really need to open a Google Doc, don't open a Google Doc.
Hotel California.
Is being sued by the Eagles for copyright infringement, as well they should be, because everybody knows the Eagles song. Somebody went out and opened up a hotel.
Do you know where it is?
It's in Los Angeles.
No, Mexico.
I thought it was in Los Angeles.
It's actually in Mexico. This is the owner of the 11-room Todos Santos Hotel in Baja California Sur. Yeah.
See, I saw Baja, California, and I was like,
I assumed it would have been a California hotel.
Yeah.
But no, it's Mexico.
Do they have warm smell of cojitas rising up through the air?
Yeah, allegedly, this allegedly included piping Hotel California and other Eagles songs through the hotel sound system as you walked in, and selling T-shirts that refer to the hotel as legendary. This hotel's brand new. Resulting in an apparent confusion among many guests who posted online reviews.
Can you dance in the courtyard?
Yes, you can. If there's a courtyard.
Can you check out but never leave? This hotel raises a lot of questions, and I think they should have an FAQ and answer this. Although they don't need it now because the Eagles are suing them.
Yeah. Change the name.
Simon the Rabbit.
Simon the Rabbit?
Yes.
Was that the rabbit that died on the United Airlines flight?
Yes.
Poor Simon. I know they were trying to figure out how he died.
You missed all of the updates on Simon the Rabbit.
Please, indulge me.
Simon, who was destined to be the world's largest rabbit, a continental giant, as we know, died on a flight from London to Chicago last week. We found out two things over the weekend. Number one, some idiot at United put the rabbit in a chiller, which is why he died. Poor bunny. Yeah, that already breaks my heart.
No.
Second, without ever asking anybody, United cremated Simon's remains.
What?
So they took the bunny and immediately threw it in a crematorium.
So they froze him and then lit him on fire.
Yes. They froze the bunny and then they burned the bunny up.
This is awful.
And
I'm sorry, I'm laughing. Like, this is, it's like nervous laugh.
And yesterday they gave Simon's breeder a five-figure settlement, which still does not make up for the atrocity of what happened to Simon the bunny. This did give the Sun over in London the opportunity to write the headline, "Who Put Bun in the Oven?" on their front page.
Stay classy. Frork.
Is that how you pronounce it?
Frork.
I didn't watch the video. I was looking at it.
I didn't want to pronounce
it
wrong.
And I was like, is that frork?
Frork.
Yeah, so McDonald's has got these new artisan sandwiches coming out.
Yes.
That no artisans were harmed in the making of these sandwiches, first of all. That's just a meaningless marketing term that they're using to try and get the millennials excited because they think it's artisanal and it's like craft beer when it's really just mass-produced McDonald's food.
Yeah.
And to celebrate this, participating restaurants will be giving you the utensil that you allegedly need to enjoy this, which is a fork that you stuff, or it's a kind of a fork shell that you stick French fries into.
It's
called Frork.
It's a red silicone utensil that has three holes in which one can insert real French fries so that the fries stand up as the fork's edible prongs. And then the diner can carry on scooping wayward condiments and eating them with their fork. Yeah, it was a statement from McDonald's, of course. On May 5th, so that's in 2 days, when you're all enjoying your margaritas, McDonald's nationwide will be giving away Frorks with a purchase of their new signature crafted recipe sandwich. That's the new artisanal sandwich that they're calling them.
Participating locations only, which means it'll be that one place out in Western Massachusetts again that had the Big Mac sauce. That Big Mac sauce was selling for $150 a bottle on eBay by that afternoon.
Was it?
Yes. As I expected it would. Rodrigo Duterte.
Oh, a country. He is the... Duterte. He is the president of... Or the head of... he just talked to Trump, and they're trying to get ties back together. Oh, my God. Why can't I think of the country's
Your
name?
Your mind is just not this week. No, because, I mean, we've talked about this guy a lot on this show.
No, I know. And that's why I'm killing myself.
You've got this amazing deer in the headlights look on your face right now.
I know what country. Wait, don't. Taiwan.
No. Duterte in Taiwan?
I don't know.
Philippines.
I do know. Okay.
He is the president of the Philippines. But
I got it. I mean, he's the head of a country that was talking to Trump, and we're trying to work together again.
No, you don't get anything for that. You couldn't even tell me what country he was the president of. I'm not giving
Duterte
you the point.
Duterte was the one, in translation, said that Trump was a mother of bastards.
No, he called Obama son of a whore. Which means he'd fit right in at Fenway Park. Just stick him up in the bleachers and give him some peanuts.
Oh, my God. I can't.
Put him in the bleachers, give him some peanuts. He'll have a great time. Rodrigo Duterte is the controversial Philippines president whose regime is believed responsible for more than 2,700 killings in his Get Tough on Drugs policy. He had a conversation with Donald Trump over the weekend, and Trump stunned the diplomatic community, the State Department, and the White House staff, not to mention the international community, by suggesting that Duterte should drop by the White House sometime. This led to a flurry of think pieces.
Philippines, how did I not know
this
that?
This led to a flurry of think pieces about why Donald Trump likes strongmen, and on and on and on.
Yes. Patch.
Covers a lot of...
A name of something.
Patch.
So a proper noun.
The media company? Mm-mm. So not the newspaper people. Adams? Mm-mm. So not the Robin Williams movie. The thing you stick on your arm to quit smoking?
Nope.
So not a pharmaceutical company. But it's a name?
Proper
Patch?
Noun.
Patch. The only Patch I know of is the media company.
Patch is the name of the one-eyed horse that will be competing this weekend in the Kentucky Derby.
Oh, that. Yeah, I saw the story. Didn't see the name of the horse.
Mm-hmm. So there's been a lot of focus on this horse, and a lot of questions have been asked, like, how does a horse... In fact, it's not the first visually impaired colt to run for the Derby. In 2004, a horse named Vision, ironically, finished 17th. So... I hope a lot of people put money on Patch.
Got some sympathy vote. Misogyny.
Misogyny is bad. I'm not even going to pretend to try and get this one.
Depends on your perspective. No, misogyny is bad.
I do not know the story.
No. That, along with James Comey and Russia, are the reasons that Hillary Clinton gave for losing the 2016 presidential election in her sit-down interview with Christine Amanpour on CNN yesterday. A lot of blaming others but not thyself on behalf of Mrs. Clinton.
Are you shocked?
Maybe, scandal, more scandal, and still more scandal were and the reasons why she lost that election. Yeah. Yeah, but no, misogyny. And this sort of cuts to the bubble world that a lot of these liberal elites live in, where they are thoroughly convinced that everything they say and do is so right and so correct and so good that how could the people not vote for me? How could the people not love me? How could the people not understand how perfect I am?
Because she is so incredibly grossly inept at reality and grasping it and not understanding the world around her. That is why you lost.
No, misogyny.
Yeah. Is it?
It's misogyny.
All right, you have one more.
By the way, I guess misogyny doesn't explain how she got 3 million more votes than Trump.
Mm. Bill Shine.
Bill Shine is no longer the president of programming at Fox News. He resigned, but that was not a voluntary resignation. That was a safe face move. Rupert Murdoch's kids basically said, you resign, we're going to fire you. So he fell on his sword and left with his head held high. There is an interesting thing blowing in the wind right now because Bill Shine is available. Bill O'Reilly is available. A number of other former Fox employees are available. Sean Hannity may be available, although Fox maintains that he's not going anywhere. Hannity and Shine
until next week.
Hannity and Shine were very good friends, and Hannity is probably going to bolt at some point. But
think about the number of viewership there.
But there is some news on the wind that a number of investors are looking to get together and start a new right wing cable news network.
Yeah, can we please shut down the blaze?
And well, this is where this gets interesting, because if you wanted to do that, there are a couple of existing outlets right now with some cable penetration that you could simply take over and plug your talent into. Glenn Beck's The Blaze would be one of those candidates.
Yeah, but Glenn Beck has such a stronghold on everything to do with that station and would have to give up some sort of power, which I don't think he's capable of doing, the money's right.
I think if you walked in with the types of millions of dollars that they might be willing to throw to get what he has, Glenn Beck will play nice.
Mm-hmm.
Because at the end of the day, if you're in broadcasting, you understand you take the money when you can, because it may not be there tomorrow. And Glenn Beck is sort of spinning his wheels at this point. He's been losing audience because it's sort of, he's said one too many problematic things. But he may be exactly what they're looking for. There's also Newsmax would be a place that they could look into. And there's One America News. My prediction, looking at what's blowing in the wind right now, is that if not by the fourth quarter of 2017, then during the first quarter of 2018, you are going to see a network launch that will be an immediate rival to Fox News, that will be appealing to extreme, not necessarily like Breitbart level right wing extremists, but hard conservatives.
Not InfoWars.
Not Alex Jones Crazyland, but yeah. Hard right conservatives.
Mm-hmm.
And that Bill O'Reilly will be the face of that network.
Which tend to use logic. Crazy to think mainstream media.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. But that's my prediction, is that either November of this year or January, February of next year, they're going to pull this thing together and we're going to have Bill O'Reilly back on the air and very possibly Bill Schein running the programming over there. You got the pieces. All you need
to put it together.
All you need to do is come up with the money, find a network, and you're good to go. And there's like we've said, there are three networks out there that are candidates for this. So Phoenix will rise from the ashes. Is this the last one for you?
It is.
Is that where we're at here? All right. I got to go with the good one here. Ja Rule.
Ja Rule is a rapper.
Yes.
Why are you pulling out all the rapper? Like, where did you look? All entertainment stories?
Ja Rule has very much been in the news since late last week.
He arrested.
No.
I don't know.
You're going to know in a second. You're going to hit yourself in the head.
What?
He's being sued for $100 million, along with the organizers of the Fyre Festival. Did you miss this?
Yeah. Wait, continue.
Did you miss this?
Continue.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm there. Continue. Ja Rule is being sued with the Fyre Festival.
You missed the whole Fyre Festival thing? Like, little millennial, like, I'm all over Snapchat and Facebook, and you missed?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I have a good reason.
I know. No. I know you have reasons.
Yeah.
But, like, this was the funniest story that came out.
No, I have no
idea.
In the
last week.
Honestly, it probably looked... You have taught me one thing, Derek. You kind of ignore all the stupid stuff. And unfortunately, I forgot that you bring up all these stories.
When the stupid rises to this level, you have to pay attention.
I scan through so much, and this doesn't warrant my
attention. But this has been everywhere for days. This has been everywhere since last Thursday. So Ja Rule and some business partners started this app called Fyre. And Fyre exists so that clubs, concert promoters, private businesses can book entertainers to come play gigs. You negotiate directly with the entertainer, set a fee, Fyre gets a cut of it, the entertainer gets paid more. No managers are harmed in this process, so it works out for everybody. So they decided they were going to have a big festival on this little, I think it's called Exama, in the Bahamian Islands, in the Bahamas. So they got 800 social media influencers, the Jenners, Kylie Jenner and the Kardashians and the Hadids of the world to promote this in exchange for free tickets to the event, which they never disclosed. So they're all running sponsored posts and not talking about it. FCC violation. Well, the festival was supposed to kick off on Thursday. The people that actually made it to the island before they stopped all of the charter flights going to the island, found UN relief tents as their lodgings. No food, no security.
Jesus.
Their luggage was being dumped on the beach. There were wild hogs running all over the place and attacking people. Some people...
What? How did I miss it?
Some people were being beaten and robbed by local thugs. And it turned into a Hunger Games for the young and wealthy.
For social media influencers. That's actually hilarious.
And the whole thing played out on social media for the world to see. Everyone was shown to be the gullible fool that they are.
Huh.
I am stunned that you missed this.
I'm pulling this up right now.
I've been having a good laugh about this for days.
4 hours ago, Ja Rule's Fyre Festival hit with second lawsuit. That's good.
Yeah. Dig into the details on this one if you haven't yet, because...
I understand why you were so ashamed I didn't know this.
Yeah, because it's got everything. It's got social media influencers. It's got dippy people who want to look good on Instagram. It's got...
ignore all that.
It's got a next-gen app company that has no idea what it's doing, making promises that it can't keep. It's got rich people stuck on an island with no... with
and
no,
it has Ja Rule at the helm.
It's got rich...
So what do you expect?
It's got rich kids stuck on an island with no food, no bathroom facilities, roving gangs of thugs attacking them, and wild hogs.
Sounds like the newest reality show for Fox.
Oh, and by the way, this was supposed to be cash-free, so everybody who went had to put all their money on a plastic bracelet that they wore during the festival, which meant you couldn't even get a cab to get back to the airport because there's no ATMs at Jesus. The Fyre Festival.
Nice.
That's not reassuring when you're running away from the hog and toward the gang waiting to take the money that you don't have.
Yeah. Ja Rule.
Yes. Someday there will be a documentary made of this that will be the most hilarious thing you could ever hope to watch. It is WMFO Medford on the Tell Mikey D coming up at 9 o'clock tonight. Everything you need to know about the Boston music scene. But before that, we got some more time with you. And when we come back, the drums of war are beating. And we're going to tell you what's going on, what it means, and what you should know about North Korea and what could be ahead here on WMFO Medford.
Goodbye to you, my trusted friend. We've known each other since we were 9 or 10. Together we've climbed hills and trees, learned of love and ABC. Skinned our hearts and skinned our knees. Goodbye, my friend, it's hard to die when all the birds are singing in the sky. Now that spring is in the air, pretty girls are everywhere. Think of me and I'll be there. We had joy, we had fun, we had seasons in the sun. But the hills that we climbed were the seasons out of time. Goodbye, Papa, please pray for me. I was the black sheep of the family. You tried to teach me right from wrong. Too much wine and too much song. Wonder how I got along. Goodbye, Papa, it's hard to die when all the birds are singing in the sky. Now that spring is in the air, little children everywhere. When you see them, I'll be there. We had joy, we had fun, we had seasons in the sun. But the wine and the song, like the seasons are all gone. We had joy, we had fun, we had seasons in the sun. But the wine and the song, like the seasons, by Rochelle, my little one. You gave me love and helped me find the sun. And every time that I was down, you would always come around and get my feet back on the ground. Goodbye, Rochelle, it's hard to die when all the birds are singing in the sky. Now that spring is in the air, with the flowers everywhere, I wish that we could both be there.
Nothing. Well, kind of nothing. I think the condom might have broken.
Broken?
Yeah, this is not good.
Okay, relax.
Relax? I mean, what are the chances of that? It's like...
Surreal?
Yeah. This isn't supposed to happen. We're being responsible here.
Okay, well, don't panic.
Don't panic? How can you say that?
Being responsible means having a backup plan, like emergency contraception, or EC for short. When you begin taking EC within 72 hours, it could prevent pregnancy. It's not an abortion pill and it won't prevent HIV or other STDs, but it's a great backup plan.
It's gonna be okay. It's gonna be fine.
What? I thought you'd be the one to freak.
Well, I've got EC.
Oh, no, that's just great. What's EC?
For more information or to get EC in advance, ask your healthcare provider or call 1-888-NOT-TOO-LATE. That's 1-888-NOT-2-LATE. EC, because shit happens. Brought to you by the Pacific Institute for Women's Health.
This is the sound of salmonella gyrating on your undercooked chicken. And it looks like Mom might be taking it out a little early. Don't let salmonella get funky with your chicken. On average, 1 in 6 Americans will get a foodborne illness this year. So use a thermometer to cook each type of meat to the right temperature. Keep your family safe at foodsafety.gov. Brought to you by the USDA, HHS, and the Ad Council.
Medford, I'm Lisa Nichols with Derek Gary here with you every Wednesday night, 7 to 9, 855-915-9636. We going to war? Feel like we're going to war every time you play that song. Well, in remarks that startled reporters in Washington, D.C. on a breakfast on Friday, you may know him from last presidential election, Governor John Kasich. He called for, and I'm going to quote, taking out North Korean leadership as an alternative to moving big warships in. So this is somebody that obviously was involved very much in the political landscape in the past year. Outwardly coming out, because you have both sides that are saying if we do get involved with North Korea, what will happen? Is it really... are we on the edge of warfare? And in using the term taking out the Soviet-style regime, the 2016 public Republican candidate hopefully did not deny he meant convert operations that the CIA used to overthrow governments, such as those in Guatemala and Iran in the early 50s and Congo in the 60s. So it's almost that old school mentality, that old school warfare that he was talking about, not going into combat one-on-one. As we hear of nuclear arsenal, that's what we automatically assume with North Korea. He's saying that we need to go in the way that it used to be and completely take out. And I agree.
Well, Mr. Kasich, who, it should be said, is not a friend of the Trump administration.
That's true.
He's been highly critical of the Trump administration. So he's not somebody who's necessarily going to parrot their talking points. Doubled down on his comments with an op-ed piece in Time magazine that ran on Monday, which I highly recommend everybody reads. Just look up Time magazine and John Kasich and you'll find it. John Kasich is not a stranger to this, because John Kasich served in the White House or served in Congress during the mid-1990s and had a firsthand view, had a front seat for what was going on in North Korea. And a couple of points that he makes in this. One of the reasons that the Clinton administration was hesitant to attack North Korea is that there were fears that artillery hidden in the mountains would be used against South Korea. And he writes, quote, according to news reports 5 years later, this is 1999, the Pentagon predicted at the time that as many as 1 million South Korean lives could be lost. William Perry, U.S. Secretary of Defense in 1994, later wrote that such estimates had persuaded him to recommend against a military strike. From that position, that point in 1994, Governor Kasich has now adopted the position that we need regime change. We have to stop kicking this can down the road because every day that we wait, North Korea becomes that much more dangerous. This is a very provocative piece. And the fact that it appears in Time magazine is very significant.
No, of course.
We do not have too many national publications of record any longer. If you want something to gain immediate short-term attention, you would put it in the New York Times. If you want something to be thought about in a broader, longer context, you put it in Time magazine. And this is not, as I say, this is not somebody who comes into this blind. This is somebody who had firsthand experience with the question of what to do about North Korea when Kim Il-sung was the one making nuclear weapons. And the calculus at the time was, we don't have the capability to prevent massive loss of life in South Korea.
No, of course. And any normal person would be worried when the president of our country talks about the possibility of going to war with North Korea. I mean, there's a reason, though, why every president since, what, Eisenhower has worked very hard to make this not happen. And when you have a country that is basically on its own, and we're talking about it's extremely poor. It is, has no connection whatsoever to any other country in the world.
Except China.
Yes. And you have a leader that has this group that runs the entire country that is basically sitting on top of a nuclear arsenal, straddling it with the button in his hand, ready to, and I know so many times we've called it cage rattling and, you know, kind of pounding on his chest, but at this point, we don't know.
When it was Kim Il-sung, that's what it was accepted as being, that the nuclear threats and the nuclear program was aimed at getting the rest of the world to recognize North Korea, to end sanctions, and to provide them with the food aid and the monetary aid that they needed. Kim Jong-un is a different creature. And Kim Jong-un, over the last several years, has done some very provocative things, up to and including having his half-brother assassinated at an airport in Malaysia.
Yeah, you're not talking about some of my poisoning. You're not talking about somebody that's running on, you know, a full brain.
So the fact that he is dangerously unpredictable, which I know some people feel about Donald Trump, but compared to Kim Jong-un, we're in a totally different category of dangerously unpredictable. The fact that nobody has any sort of intelligence assets in North Korea, we don't. For those of you who think the CIA is keeping an eye on everything over there, we don't have anybody on the ground over there. We don't. Partly because it would be a violation of the treaty with North Korea, which means that would be an act of war if we sent surveillance forces in there, partly because they're really good at keeping us out. We believe that China has some people in there, and that a lot of what we learn about North Korea day to day comes through back channels with China. But in terms of CIA assets, none, zero. What we know about them,
it's impossible.
We know from satellite photography and defectors, for the most part. They're the ones that are telling us these are what the capabilities are, this is what's going on. Nobody else is anywhere close to this. So that statement from John Kasich is a very clear sign that the war drums are beating. There are other signs that are very clear. Number one, Donald Trump talking to Duterte of the Philippines. We don't want to deal with that guy. However, the Philippines is in the firing line of anything that happens in North Korea. If you were going to make a move in North Korea, you have to have the Philippines on board. You have to have Australia on board.
Maybe this is why Scott Brown is now the ambassador to New Zealand.
We know that Australia is on board. And you have to have Indonesia, China, and Japan on board. China is a big question mark. But China, as you will recall, President Trump's first meeting with a foreign head of state was with the president of China. His first face-to-face. That is somewhat by design because of what is happening in North Korea.
But do you agree with the... Is it enough of the ongoing pressure, though, that we're putting on China? I feel like it's... we're pointing fingers to China. We're having conversations with China to understand the capabilities. And of course, they know what the capabilities of North Korea are. But is it enough?
It's not that North Korea has the capabilities to harm the United States.
No, and of course, the goal is to...
Maybe.
Is it even the goal now still to bring... No, it is, of course. To bring North Korea to the negotiation table.
According to John Kasich, the goal is regime change. And this is the first time that we've heard anyone at any level of the United States government use those words.
Do you think that is more plausible or bringing them to the negotiation table? But is there even a possibility of negotiation with a tyrant that is obsessively... into his nuclear warfare.
This is a big question, and one that we do not have an answer for, and that's where all of this starts to become very concerning. So we've got Kasich calling for regime change. This isn't the first time that anybody has said it.
No, of course, because you have Rex Tillerson saying over and over again that we don't want to go in there. We're doing everything in our capabilities to not go in there. We just want to bring them to the table. We want them to understand who is boss, what we are capable of, and what we will do to you if you continue with this.
There was a story floating around in the fake news media about 3 weeks ago in April saying Trump administration has planned to take out Kim Jong-un. No, they didn't. Okay? The Pentagon may have drawn up invasion plans or attack plans, but we do not have a plan to target Kim Jong-un because that's illegal. Mm-hmm. It's banned by the Geneva Convention. You cannot take out a foreign head of state.
Now, please remind me, China's banks still deal with North Korea.
China is the only ally that North Korea has, and China shares a land border with North Korea.
So we're talking about, we're having conversations with Russia, regardless of what is going on with tensions in Syria. We're having conversations with Putin in Russia. We're sort of having conversations with China. Somewhat of a pressure is put on.
We're having very...
But are we getting to a point where we now have to say, okay, you make your decision. Do your Chinese banks continue to do business with North Korean banks, or do you do them with the United States? That will put a complete head spin on the international market.
I believe we're past that point, actually, and there's been evidence in a lot of what's been said.
But we haven't stopped any trade with China.
We've threatened to, and we've made a continued trade. And Donald Trump
so
is part
easier?
Of his meeting with President
Xi. Change or...
Well, as part of his meeting with President Xi, basically said, we want to continue having good trade relations with you guys. You got to get on board with North Korea.
Because
if you continue to support North Korea, we're not going to be able to do that. And China is not in a position where they can lose us as a trading partner. So President Trump has basically told China, it's us or him. And China's reaction so far has been to side with us. So this is why he's talking about bringing Duterte to the White House. This is why we're talking to Indonesia. This is why he's talking to President Vladimir Putin and talking about sideline conversations in July at the G20. All of this has to do with North Korea.
Mm-hmm.
And in the background of all of this, there is a very concerning word that keeps coming up. And for those who don't follow international diplomacy and international politics, words are chosen very carefully when they are issued by government figures, particularly when they are designed for international consumption. Most things that State Department or foreign press ministers or Sean Spicer or someone high up in the Trump administration says are intended for foreign consumption.
Mm-hmm.
So when they speak, they're speaking in a very precise language. There's a particular word that keeps popping up, and I'll give you some examples. April 18th, Defense Secretary James Mattis calls a failed North Korean missile test, quote, a reckless act. April 28th, Russia condemns, quote, reckless muscle flexing, end quote, on the Korean Peninsula. April 30th, Australian Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull said he and the United States would not tolerate, quote, reckless dangerous threats, end quote. May 2nd, Rodong Sinmun newspaper, that is not the official North Korean newspaper, but everybody writes what Kim Yong-un once written. Calls joint U.S.-South Korean military exercises, quote, a reckless action of the war maniacs aimed at an extremely dangerous nuclear war, end quote. We're the war maniacs, by the way. Also, yesterday, from North Korea, they called an alleged U.S. nuclear bomb-dropping exercise, quote, extremely reckless, end quote. Today, quote, this is from the Korean Central News Agency, which is the official mouthpiece of the Kim administration. A string of absurd and reckless remarks are now heard from China every day, only to render the present bad situation tenser. China had better ponder over the grave consequences to be entailed by its reckless act of chopping down the pillar of the DPRK-China relations. China responded to that later in the day today by calling on all sides, United States, North Korea, Russia, China, everybody, to stop irritating each other. There's one word that shows up in every one of those quotes. That word is reckless. In the same way that you never want to hear the phrase going concern about a company that you've invested in, you never want to hear the phrase reckless in international diplomacy. Reckless is a very specific word that has a very specific meaning. And what it means is your actions are a justification for war.
Mm-hmm.
Because the legal definition of reckless is to act either ignorant of or conscious of and not caring about the consequences of one's actions. And you've got to understand that one does not simply go to war. If you were going to go to war with somebody, you need a legal basis for doing it.
It's international diplomacy.
Somebody attacks you, you got a justification.
Mm-hmm.
If somebody has closed your borders and they're blockading you, you've got a justification. If someone hasn't directly attacked you, now you've got to go looking for a reason. Threatening an ally, invading an ally, is a justification for going to war. North Korea hasn't done that. But everyone on all sides seems to agree that people are behaving recklessly.
And by people, they're the main focus is North Korea.
That is
a reckless country.
But this is why...
Reckless leader.
The statement that came out of North Korea today is particularly troubling. For them to use the word reckless in relation to China is to send a message to China saying, we're not your friends.
We're close.
And if you keep up with this, you're in the crosshairs too, which is why China almost immediately released that follow-up statement telling everyone to stop irritating each other. Because China does not want this war.
No, absolutely not.
Russia does not want this war. And guess what? The United States does not want this war. Nobody wants this war because everybody knows what the potential consequences here are. The worst case scenario is we launch some sort of a preemptive attack on North Korea, and North Korea just fires everything that they've got in all directions. People die in China. People die in South Korea. People die in Japan. People die in the Philippines. People die in Indonesia. People might die in Hawaii and on the west coast of the United States.
But if you're talking about preemptive attacks, do you think the United States is likely to do that? I feel like it's very unlikely. I mean, but then again, how far does North Korea go? It's like... They're throwing these bombs, but they're not reaching anything. And they get a little bit further. They get a little bit further.
When people start throwing the word reckless around, and everybody's using it now, sides in this conflict.
Well, North Korea now believes that it warrants tensions.
When people start throwing the word reckless around, they're saying, I have a justification to go to war with you. I have a justification to attack you. That's usually the last word that you hear before people start firing.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's going on with North Korea right now. We are desperately close to an armed conflict with North Korea. Nobody knows what form that would take. Nobody knows who is likely to shoot first. But we are as close to that armed conflict as we have ever been. And the consequences of it for the global economy would be devastating. Now, if we were to go in and attack North Korea, that does not mean that China is going to rush to North Korea's aid and attack us. They are very unlikely to do so. Doesn't mean that Russia is going to come in and attack us. They are very unlikely to do so. Russia, I believe, is more afraid of the loss of life.
But for the most part, in the entire world, you have every single country putting down and pointing the finger to North Korea. And they're all on their own. The arsenal that they do have has the capabilities of creating devastating, devastating amount of damages. But I don't know how far it can go before they actually do something.
Certainly the regime is faced with an existential threat. And they have to be aware of that.
But even China, like, every other country is on board against North Korea, but you're still keeping your ties.
China is also on board, which is why North Korea issued a statement calling China's actions reckless today. Because China went to the United Nations with the United States and basically said, not only do we support stronger sanctions against North Korea, we support secondary sanctions against businesses that are supplying North Korea in violation of the existing sanctions, which is the first time that it's gone to that level. Because in this case, as in a lot of cases, sanctions are not necessarily sanctions. Sanctions mean North Korea cannot openly conduct business with other countries. Can't move money around in the global financial system. It's supposed to mean that nobody can do business with North Korea. But when it comes to things like selling people food or selling people raw materials for building, even if we know it's going to be used on bombs and tanks, that's still quietly allowed. Everybody looks the other way and the stuff goes in. Now what they're saying is, we're going to cut that off. We're going to completely isolate you. And
which they've created so far by themselves.
And in that scenario, it is reasonable to expect that North Korea might act very provocatively.
No, I can understand if you are backed into a corner by everybody and you have everything boiling, you have all your arsenal, you're ready to go, you just kind of throw your hands up, close your eyes, and throw everything that you got. So I believe that's the only way that they are going to attack. They're going to dump everything.
One wonders whether or not there are those.
Because, Derek, though, you know, one shot, we're in there and it's done.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. And one wonders whether there aren't those on the hawkish side of things who think that sanctions are a great tool to get your enemy to shoot first, thereby giving you the cover to go in and do what you wanted to do all along. Clearly, the United States is getting to a point where we want Kim out of there. China is in the same box that Russia was in with Syria. They're our ally. We share a land border with them. We have a treaty with them. We have to support them. But they cannot continue to support a rogue nuclear nation. No nation on earth wants to do that.
But if we take the John Kasich route and talk about a regime change, I mean, what are we saying? Something similar to taking out Saddam Hussein in Iraq? Is that a possibility where
my best guess is that any sort of first strike on Korea, on North Korea, would involve a large number of MOABs being directed at wherever Kim and the generals happen to be. That's what we're going to open with. And we're going to hope that we take them all out. The belief is that if you took them all out, that'd be the end of it, because there's nobody left to run the country and North Korea would collapse and then the international community can come in and put it back together again. That's the belief. That's what Washington is operating on. But everything that has been said, and particularly everything that's been said in the last couple of weeks, is heading toward a flashpoint. We are heading toward a war with North Korea.
Do you think in our lifetime we're ever going to see something where, and essentially it's not a wall, but a crossing of North Korea to South Korea?
Yes, but it's not going to happen as long as the Kim regime is in there. And it's not going to happen as long as the generals are running that country. Keep in mind that Kim serves at the pleasure of the generals. They can throw him out anytime they want to. A lot of the North Korean people would like to have all of this over and done with. Not at the cost of their own lives, obviously.
Strike would never happen.
But they would like to see that regime go. And, you know, the Trump administration set this up when they said the era of strategic patience is over. North Korea has not reversed course. It has doubled down on its nuclear capabilities. And the longer you let this go, the more dangerous they become. Because right now, they can threaten South Korea. And they can threaten South Korea with nuclear weapons. Mm-hmm. There's no guarantee they could threaten anybody else with them. If you give them another couple of years, maybe they could start nuking Japan. Maybe they can get a nuke to Beijing. And based on their what the Korean Central News Agency said today about China behaving recklessly, clearly attacking China is not out of the realm of consideration for them. So that statement from North Korea today was probably the most dangerous verbal escalation that we've seen so far, because that is them telling China, you get in line with us or you're on our list too. And China's quick response tells me that there is a tremendous amount of high-level government and diplomatic concern about where things are going with North Korea. The drums of war are beating. This isn't necessarily anything that we need to be afraid of. We're not talking about World War III, as USA Today put out today. We're not talking about global thermonuclear war. Mm-hmm. That is not going to happen. However, in any conflict with North Korea, you have to accept the possibility that nuclear weapons would be used, that there would be considerable loss of life.
No, and of course, it is cause for concern.
And
at the minimum.
I think a lot of people are looking at this situation in Washington and other places now and saying, how long before this guy just finally loses it and fires a missile at somebody? And do we want to wait that long? Because once you've waited that long, there is no turning back. Mm-hmm. And that is probably the justification. This is the way that a lot of our generals tend to think.
No, it's creeping a little more and a little more and a little more forward.
They see a threat. They want the threat eliminated. They know the possibilities of what the threat could do. They don't like the threat hanging around. We'll see where this goes. But as things stand right now, we are on a collision course with North Korea. And it is going to be a shooting war. 855-915-9636. It is The Big Picture. We're going to lighten things up when we come back with our favorite things from the past week and the strangest stories of the past week here on WMFO Medford.
Distress, mess, confess. Hi, I'm Joe Perry.
And Steven Tyler from Aerosmith, here for RAD, recording artists, actors, and athletes against drunk driving. Yeah, you know we love it when the music does the talking.
And you know, the music stops when someone gets killed.
So never, 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 never let someone you know get behind the wheel if they've been drinking. So keep it real, keep it real. Friends, don't let friends drive drunk.
A public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Everything is awesome. Everything is cool when you're part of a team. Everything is awesome when we live in our dreams.
Welcome back to The Big Picture on WMFO 91.5 Medford. It's time for What's Hot, our favorite thing from this week. And summer in 2017 is coming up, and of course you need one of my favorite things, Polar Seltzer. They announced their new flavors for summer. Oh, my God.
Their spring
them.
Flavors
Anybody,
were a flop.
You know what? You don't drink them alone. You use them with vodka and use them as a mixer, kids. And this, of course, is the Worcester-based company who did Unicorn Kisses and all those fun ones. So some of the new ones, Raspberry Rosé. There also is a Raspberry Pink Lemonade, a Mango Limeade, Watermelon Lemonade, Blueberry Lemonade, and Tart Cherry Limeade. Go get them. I'm going to buy like every single one.
By the way, I discovered...
I know, I'm so basic. Please tell me.
Half of their flavors are not good. They taste chemically or they taste, you know... I discovered this the other night. If you mix Bacardi, the regular Bacardi, the white rum... And V8's Mango Peach Instant Mai Tai.
What?
Instant Mai Tai.
We just scrapping around what was in your house?
No, I was just like, I got some rum. I got to let you throw these together. Instant Mai Tai. Tasted like Mai Tais I've had at Chinese restaurants.
Yeah, that just gave me heartburn thinking about
it. No, it's good. Hey, your favorite Japanese clothing retailer, or are they South Korean? Uniqlo? They're Japanese.
Uniqlo.
They're Japanese, aren't they? Your favorite Japanese clothing retailer just signed a big deal with Nintendo. And on May 19th, you're going to be able to get all kinds of Nintendo-themed shirts of it, at your nearest Uniqlo. You're going to want to run in and get these as soon as you possibly can, because I guarantee you they're going to sell out. Some of these things are gorgeous. There is a style, no matter what you like. All of Nintendo is covered here, from Donkey Kong to Pikmin to Metroid to Mario. They've got a great Donkey Kong screen printed shirt. One of my very favorites, or two of my favorites, they've got a red t-shirt with a pocket that has Donkey Kong climbing off of the pocket. And the most brilliant one, I think, is it's a white shirt with a pocket that looks like a pipe from one of the Mario Brothers games, with Mario and Luigi sticking out of the top of it. Uniqlo, May 19th. Go get yourself some awesome Nintendo shirts. And it's Uniqlo, so you know you'll be able to get a lot of them. Where are you? Come on, come on, come on.
As we end the show every week, that's the thing that happens.
Wait, come on.
There it is. If we didn't talk about Hillary Clinton enough, authorities say a drunk driving suspect who was chased by police from Maryland into Pennsylvania identified herself as Hillary Clinton. Pennsylvania State Trooper Robert Pultowski said that the woman was arrested early Tuesday is actually 36-year-old Holly Lynn Donahue of Louisville, Kentucky. She was being chased by the sheriff's deputy from Garrett County, Maryland, and Maryland State Police when she drove to Thornton Township in Pennsylvania's Fayette County. The officer joined the chase and used spike strips to flatten Donahue's tires. She was taken to the hospital, where police said she refused drug and alcohol testing and was jailed on charges of driving under the influence and fleeing and eluding police. Hillary Clinton.
New York. Some people want their ashes spread on the Ganges. Tom McDonald has a different plan for the remains of his childhood friend, Roy Riegel, who is a baseball fan and plumber. Since 2008, McDonald has traveled the country and flushed some of his friend's ashes down a toilet at baseball stadiums. McDonald told the New York Times, quote, "This is the perfect tribute to a plumber and a baseball fan and just a brilliant, wild guy," end quote. Riegel's brother also supports McDonald's plan. McDonald also flushed some of Riegel's ashes at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and in Chicago during a White Sox game, but he refused to flush ashes at Wrigley Field because he and Riegel are Mets fans. Yeah. flushing your buddy's
That's
ashes.
That's so weird.
Game has to be going on while you flush the ashes.
It is so
Those are
strange.
The rules.
I wonder if anybody's like looking and saying, what is that dude doing?
That is all of the time that we've got. We will be back next week. Until then, Lisa Nichols.
It was lovely as always.
And I am Derek Gary. Stay safe.